Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, July 10th. That means tomorrow you can take any receptacle to 7-Eleven and fill it up with Slurpees, doesn't it? Isn't it on 7-Eleven Day?
I think so.
I think so. If you're not sure, if you're not familiar with 7-Eleven, it's a Dallas-based, started in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Nation, probably worldwide convenience chain. And you get you, I don't know if they still do it, but go in, tell them Heather sent you.
Yep. I've had friends that have worked there in the past, and they're like, you'd be blown away by what people bring in. Because they're like, if you bring it in, we'll fill it up. And, you know, sometimes you got to go in with like a Home Depot bucket when you're 12 years old to get all your friends your Slurpees.
Like, did you steal the garbage can from your house and then clean it out and bring it here? I did do it. It's like,
never
it's not clean enough.
Don't ever do it. You got to buy a new one.
Well,
happy 7-Eleven, however you celebrate.
Exactly. Whatever you're filling up today, I hope it is.
Man, I'm going with cherry.
Clean. Yeah. Oh, you got to go. I got to go. Coke and cherry.
Oh, I like see, it. I never did the like Coke one, but I do like a white cherry.
White cherry nowadays, yeah.
So cherry and white cherry mixed together would be nice.
Ooh,
occasionally, I would get Coke. I think my mom liked that one, but I like a cherry. I'm a cherry girl.
You know, now we have Dr. Pepper Slurpees because we've moved beyond, you know, the 90s. So maybe a Dr. Pepper with some cherry. Fuck it, baby.
Ooh, in fact, is it Whataburger that has the Dr. Pepper cherry shake?
I know they have Dr. Pepper shakes. You tell me if they got a cherry one. I got to come through there. They did I feel like a blackberry one. Everybody is like, add it to Dr. Pepper. It's like sometimes it can stand alone. I like cherry, Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper specifically out of the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine, which is why I was so excited on Royal Caribbean that they had the Freestyle machine with not only Diet Dr. Pepper, but I could get Diet Cherry Dr. Pepper.
That's true.
Rare.
Yeah. There were no shortage of options of how you could fill that way too small cup that we're forced to buy and use around the ship.
There's an RFID on the bottom, so you can't use a planter or a mop bucket like 7-Eleven, but it's still delicious, and you get to enjoy it with us on the high seas, so that's even better. Plus, we're the dorks drinking sodas. Most people are drinking like a Mai Tai.
We had a couple daiquiris here and there.
I'm a pina colada lady. Yeah.
I do love a daiquiri on a vacation, and you can come with us on one. Mm-hmm. February 8th through 12th, 2027. It sounds a far way away, but it'll be here before we even realize it. The Royal Caribbean Oasis of the Seas. I believe this is the biggest cruise ship I know of their fleet. All the fleets, I don't know. But it's going to be definitely the biggest one I've been on. And it's going to have even more shows. So everything's bigger.
Man, it's going to be us, Henry and Ed from last podcast. We're going to unmask Casey from Case File on stage, but only if you're there. And it's going to
I'm going to make him come out like Jigsaw and then I'm going to pull off the Jigsaw mask that he's wearing. And then we'll get to see who he is underneath. And it's still Jigsaw.
It was part of all of our contracts to agree to that. But there's a huge lineup of creators. Go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER to get one of probably like three cabins left because it is only 6 months out. So it is selling out, if not already sold out. So go on over to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER. If you click on live shows on our website, you can also get more info on there. Check it out. It's a good
time. I'm so excited. Yeah, we had much fun last time. Can't wait for it again. And we would love to see everyone there.
Come aboard.
Well, in the meantime, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Jay. and is called I Only Saw the Damn Shoes. Hey, hey, I'm a somewhat new listener. Found out about you guys through 30 Morbid Minutes, but have been quickly catching up on every episode. I absolutely love the show. Thanks for everything you do. So I'm from the Netherlands. Heather, Christy, I hope you guys know how far your humor and kindness reaches. I decided to write in because of Emily's story in Freaky Friday 219 about the creeper in the park. When you guys started talking about pools, it reminded me of my encounter with the creep and how I still feel shitty about it. So this happened to me in 2020 when I was 21 years old. I was on a short vacation with my then boyfriend, who turned out to be kind of a beard, but that's a whole different story. We were staying two nights in an all-inclusive resort on the other side of the country. We were having a good time, except I got sick right before we got there. Might have been COVID, since this was just a couple of weeks before restrictions started, but I'm still not sure. Anyway, I didn't want to spoil the vacation, so we just set out and did everything we wanted to do. The 2 days went by fine. On the last day, even though I was feeling horrible, nauseous, headache, faint, we went swimming. The resort had a huge indoor pool, also accessible by people not staying at the resort, with slides and a wave pool and such. We swam for about 45 minutes before deciding to pack up our stuff and head home. The pool had those standard changing rooms, with the hard plastic doors and the twisty lock and a gap of about 20 centimeters between the stall and the floor. While I was changing, feeling a bit faint, head full of cotton, butt naked, drying myself off, I noticed something on the underside of the wall of the stall to the right of me, just a tiny sliver of black. I stood for some time, towel in hand, looking at it, trying to figure out what it was. My first thought was that my boyfriend was handing me something, but then I remembered he wasn't next to me, he was in the stall further down. Then I realized what it was. A phone. Just the very top of a phone with a small little circle in the middle for the front-facing camera. Someone was filming or taking pictures of me. The first thing I did was duck down, making sure I wasn't imagining it in my half-delirious state. I looked beneath the stall and saw shoes. They were facing towards me. Black Nike running shoes, white with white soles, and the fabric loops where the laces would go through were neon pink. I called for my boyfriend, asking him to come out. He said, "Well, I can't right now. What is it?" I threw some clothes on and got out, but of course, the stall to the right of me was empty. My boyfriend came out wearing a shirt and a towel around his waist, asking, "What is it?" I told him someone was taking pictures of me. He ran to the exit, but of course, he didn't know what he was looking for anyway. I stayed and looked around by the mirrors. It was pretty busy, but there were no shoes of the kind I saw in sight. So there was nothing we could really do. We finished getting changed, headed to the reception, and told the story to the manager of the resort. They apologized, even though it wasn't their fault, and said they would keep an eye out. They seemed to take it quite seriously. Eventually, back home, I did file a police report, just so there was at least some record of it. I had no idea how long the phone had been there. The slight movements it made while I was staring at it, deciding if I was imagining it, made me think the perv was being very careful about it. It wasn't a quick picture. It was the deliberate capturing of a moment while someone was unaware. I did stare at the phone for a good 4 seconds before it retreated, and I ducked down to look. So I guess the perv wasn't that careful about it, and had maybe done it before, getting overly confident, which is really gross. Still thinking back on it, I get angry at myself for not doing more. I should have kicked the phone. I should have grabbed an ankle. I should have started screaming. Why didn't I do any of those things? It makes me so mad that someone out there might have pictures of me. But what makes me even more angry is the fact that there were a lot of kids around in the whole resort, but especially in the pool. This pervert could have a season ticket to the pool and do this crap every weekend. And he or she, or whatever, could have been caught, but I only saw the damn shoes. So whenever I get reminded of this moment, I ask myself again, why didn't I do more? Because it wasn't a normal situation, I guess. You can't feel guilty about acting a certain way in a situation you shouldn't have been in the first place. I have learned that. Still, it gets to me. But listening to people on here with similar stories about feeling guilty about a certain situation has really helped me. So to all the people who have sent in stories about overcoming guilt or fear, thank you. And thank you, Emily, for screaming at creeps. From now on, I'm going to do that as well, hoping something like that will never happen to me or anybody else again while I'm around to do something about it. I never heard anything about the whole situation. I really hope the perv got caught or slipped in the communal showers and broke both their arms and legs. I hope you all have a great day. Stay safe. Stay freaky. Jay.
Oh, Jay.
This is such a fear of mine.
Truly. And I'm glad that we have laws against it now. And the Dutch law, while that was in effect when this happened, was that it was illegal to take, you know, sexual images, in a place you have a reasonable expectation of privacy, like a shower. And then a new law was passed a couple years later that's sexual images without consent, regardless of location. Because if you think about it, you're just walking in the mall. Mm-hmm. And someone upskirt photos you know, that first law is not going to cover it. So this, luckily they've upgraded it. And Texas has a similar one too. You know, it's a state jail felony. In Texas, I think it's a little bit more of a misdemeanor as far as punishment. In the Netherlands,
everything here sucks shit.
No, it's better in Texas. Sorry. It is a state jail felony in Texas. It is a lower punishment in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
It's a much higher
saying the other way around.
No, sorry. It is a much higher, a penalty here, but I think it should be an extremely high penalty everywhere. I think if you're caught doing this, you should have to register as a sex offender.
Yeah. And you make a great point, Jay. Who's to say this person doesn't? I mean, I can't imagine that this was this person's first time. What's the likelihood of like you being the first person this was done to? Somebody has to be the first. I don't think it was you though, given they knew just how to sneak enough of it under to where the camera would be there, but maybe you wouldn't notice because you're getting dressed and kids being around is a huge problem. And I always wonder, not that it would possibly reduce the amount of perverts, but if I'm going to a resort and part of that resort includes a pool that I've paid to be at a resort, I don't want it open to just whoever. Mm-mm. I think, you know, I mean, if it's a closed thing, you can kind of control the number of people that are there. And then if something like this happens, you shut it down and you're like, all right, the cops are here and everyone's walking around looking for these types of shoes, which unfortunately are so easy to change. And mm-hmm. if that's all you saw, you know, but when it's just open to whoever, it makes situations like this even harder to track and catch the person.
No, it really does. And I guess even if they have, you know, wristbands or whatever, or like you have to pay a ticket to get in, I don't know that that's as secure as, you know, it's people just staying there. You know, we know their name and their address and their credit card number.
Their hotel number.
Yeah. If somebody is like, here's $20 to get in or whatever, you might, you know, you see them on the cameras coming in and you see them on the cameras running away. So it's, you know, on the one hand, I'm dubious of increased video surveillance all around us, but in an area where you're vulnerable, I think where you consent to being surveilled by going like, yes, this is me. I'm checking in. I'm signing a waiver or whatever to be here. We all kind of know that and have a little bit of a guard down, right? Like, oh, I'm in a, you know, we've all paid to be here. Like, this is fine. So to think that something like that's going to pop up under your changing room stall or under your, you know, shower stall, and somebody that's doing that, they're not just, you know, like you said, this isn't A, their first time, and B, they're just not just doing that. They're probably peeping through things, you know, mm-hmm. peeking through cracks, watching
people. Selling pictures.
Certainly. And that's a whole separate offense too. But it's like, well, if you don't catch them taking them, you're not going to catch them distributing them. But I saw a TikTok today that was a woman who was in a grocery store with her little two-year-old. And the woman was walking and was wearing like athletic shorts. Oh, I don't know. Kind of like the ones I wear sometimes with, you know, not super tight, like a little baggy around the edge that if someone stuck their phone up, they might be able to, you know, not upskirt you, but upshort you. And she turned around and was like, you're taking a picture up my shorts. And I imagine it's because of corporate policies, but the employees were like, what? Oh, the security guard's on break. I'm not sure. Meanwhile, a dude bro rolls up and was like, what's going on? And she's like, he tried to take my picture up my shorts and I'm here alone with my kid. And the guy like shoves the perpetrator and is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then another lady rolls up and is like, do you need help? Are you okay? So two strangers, bystanders, came and helped her and said, we're telling the pervert, you're not leaving. The cops are coming. We're not letting you leave. the pervert, to his credit, could have left, but was maybe stupid or nervous or whatever. And he's like, I didn't mean to. So he admits that he did it, like, on camera.
I didn't mean to just stick my phone up your shorts. Yeah, and you don't accidentally do that.
Yeah, and he was just like, I'm sorry. It's whatever. I'm sorry. And she's like, what's your name? And you could tell that she's, like, trying to stay calm for her kid. But thankfully, these two other people came, and she made a follow-up video and just said, I was so alone. I was so terrified. My family members, I just moved to this town. The only family members were at home, couldn't come with me to the store. I didn't have a car to even get away. Like, I was terrified. And thank God for those people that came up. And then the police came and they did find the guy and arrest him and stuff, because he like was an older gentleman. I don't think could have run off. I think they found him kind of, you know, walking towards a bus stop nearby. But like, thankfully, strangers stepped in, because like I said, I'll try to give the employees the benefit of the doubt. None of them were stopping what they were doing to intervene. And when the third party woman's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Where's the fucking security?
Yeah.
To try to help this victim, they were like, he's on break.
What? No, I don't think we live in a world where we can rely on employees anymore to do stuff like this, because for whatever reason, they just don't do that. And a lot of it is corporate policy. They're like, we don't intervene. You don't intervene with a shoplifter. You don't intervene if there's an assault, because if you do something and then we get sued, you know, so they would rather just be like, yeah, two bystanders have to come and deal with this. And that's fine by me. And I will also be that person, because no one's coming to save us but ourselves.
For real. I was like, we are each other's keepers, truly. And I was very happy that those two neighbors like stepped in and were like, no, like you know what you did. Because I think that in the absence of other police, like literal policing, or, you know, the company's doing something about it, I think perverts do feel like they have free range. It's like, I'm not going to get caught.
Right.
I've done it. Like you said, this other guy, I've done it a million times before. I'm not going to get caught. So
I like the shorts like I'm wearing right now that are like running shorts. But now it's kind of common to put like the stretchy bike shorts under shorts, or like under skirts, which I'm a big fan of, because kids wear those a lot. And so, you know, it reduces the your skirt flies up and you see your underwear, or just seeing more than anyone's comfortable with during playing, both for kids and adults. So like the ones I have right now have those stretchy things on under it, and they make me feel way more secure.
No, for sure. Like you have an extra layer or something. Yeah. I have those dresses, the Halara easy peasy dresses, where it's like the bodysuit kind of underneath it, but you can still go to the bathroom. And I feel the same
These
way
shorts
that I'm
are
like,
Halara too.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm worried if, you know, I turn quickly or something, or you're bending over at the grocery store to get some off a bottom shelf. You never know who's behind you or who's looking. So I think what those folks did at the grocery store, we can all do, where, you know, or what Emily did in the park. And I don't want you to feel bad, Jay, because this is a crazy situation. And, you know, why didn't I do more? Because you're a human being. And when we're faced with something that's shocking, that's invasive, that's terrifying, because you're like, are you looking just to take pictures for yourself? Or are you waiting for me to come out? So you're going to grab me. You know, you never know how people
Plus
escalate.
Plus you're sick as fuck.
So yeah, you don't like, feel good.
I don't even know if this is really happening. I do think that the pool should have called the cops. After
Certainly.
You reported it to them, whether they can find the person or not, they need to report it. And again, they don't, because, well, now you have on record that at this business, there was a perpetrator trying to take pictures of people in the bathroom. And businesses don't like that kind of stuff on their record.
It does become public. And then it's like, oh, well, that's a thing that happens there. It's like, well, shut that down. And then it's not a thing that happens there. But
it's like Crystal's Pizza.
You, what?
There was this place called Crystal's Pizza in Fort Worth in the 80s and 90s, and kids kept getting kidnapped.
No.
Shut it down.
You know,
but
it's
that's
like,
what you do. If a place becomes known for a kidnapping place, you just got to shut it down. You got to shut it down.
You can't fight those reviews, and don't open that place in the first place.
God damn. It was fun, though, man. Damn. It was like a big-ass carousel.
Pedophiles ruin everything. Once again.
Well, that is true. We need a shirt saying that. I'm not going to wear it because
it just says pedophiles in huge font and then ruins everything. You should have made the ruins everything much bigger and the pedophiles much smaller. Listen, We've got some design feedback. We've got about 500 of these shirts to move, though. Can you buy some from us?
From a distance, it is going to look like you're wearing a shirt that just says pedophile. Someone has to get like right up next to you to see it says, are the worst.
But when you say, hey, come a little closer, they're not going to do it because the shirt's going to throw them off.
It's a good way to keep people away from you, but it's also a great way to get the police called on you.
You will go to jail. You will. It's like when Larry David wore the MAGA hat in Curb. And pros and cons. But yeah, Jay, I feel like you didn't do anything wrong here. And you know what?
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Sorry that happened, but I'm glad you did make the report. Just make people aware of it, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then that kind of shit is a good PSA to us all. That even though we should be allowed to change in a bathroom stall and not have to worry about those things, take a few seconds, look around. We kind of live in a world and have for a while, right? I am constantly like head on a swivel, seeing what's going on, especially in a public place like that, where there's so much like commotion and strangers and in and out of a place. We just got to keep be aware. I mean, mm-hmm. I go to the bathroom anytime my kid needs to go to the bathroom mm-hmm. and we're out. I am also going to the bathroom. You know, we're not in a place where it's like you can go in there by yourself, because even as an adult, you can't go in there by yourself and not worry about this stuff.
No, for sure. And I think too, we're 2020. It was people had cell phones. Now in 2026, people have a bajillion types of cameras. That's like, this one is like a body cam that you can't even tell. It looks like a pen. These are glasses. This is the, so we're now in the point where someone just, oh, I'm sorry, I accidentally opened the shower in mm-hmm. my Meta Ray-Ban glasses mm-hmm. that are recording, like, fuck you. So I think you're right. Taking a little moment, but you know, back in 2020, we couldn't even have thought of that, but
damn, these fucking glasses, man, are really pissing me off. Dude. I've never even seen them or tried them on, but just knowing like at this water park, someone could be laying out with uh-huh. these glasses on and just filming, uh-huh. live streaming to someone, uh-huh. whatever, just thousands of people and kids walking around in their swimsuits.
Yeah.
And like,
and
we
also
don't look at it. We're just like, oh, yeah, everybody has their sunglasses on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you would know. Not only is it filming, streaming, but you can say, hey, Meta. And then the kid's got a logo on their backpack. And you go, search local schools for that backpack logo. Like, I'm not
That's
kidding.
Fucking crazy, man.
Because none of the LLMs are to the point that they would be like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. You know, because it doesn't know the context. It's just like, oh, yeah, I'm helpful. So yeah. It's a wild, wild world we're living.
PSA again. And I know I love a monogram, too. We're coming up on school coming back. And everyone loves a monogrammed backpack. Just remember, everybody sees your kid's name on that backpack, not just mm-hmm. you, not just mm-hmm. the grandparents. So even initials. And then, like you said, they've got like a keychain on their backpack of the school that they go to. And then it doesn't take a lot for someone to find out who that kid is, what their real name is, where they go to school. And it's just protect your kids. I know we all want the cute pictures and we want, and we can still have them, and you take them and you keep them at home and that's where they live. You don't need to post every milestone on 1,000 platforms for a gazillion people to see.
And public consumption. Well, not just that. Now, Meta AI has said they are scraping all Facebook photo uploads and Instagram uploads to train their models. So that's your kids, which that's one thing, but I just old school style. I love those little boards that say like, my name is Billy. Yeah. I'm going to be in Mrs. Jones's third grade class. My favorite food is macaroni and cheese. And I'm like, yes, I love your children from afar. All my friends that I went to school with and used to work with, and everybody I've ever met, I feel like I know your children, and I am a safe person. However, everybody that you've ever friended on Facebook, perhaps I don't know that they are a safe person. Do you know every person you went to high school with, every cousin, every ex of a cousin's boyfriend that you forgot that you didn't? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it'll say it on there. And I'm like, oh, this is all the information you would need to kidnap that kid.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You stop him on the way to school and go, hey, your mom, Angela, told me that. But that's OK. Miss Smith already knows that you're not going to be in class today. I've talked with her and I've got some macaroni and cheese. Uh-huh. It's just everything they need to know. Yep. And the kid would be like, oh, he already talked to my teacher. He knew my teachers. Meanwhile, you never see Billy again. And I don't mean that to be.
I don't think it's hyperbolic. That's how it happens.
It is how it happens.
It is. And screenshots last forever. You can upload something and be like, shit, I shouldn't have done that, and delete it. If you have any question or doubt about, should I upload this, err on the side of caution and just don't. And I always like to ask myself, why would I be uploading this? Is it because I really do crave the likes and I want people to know I'm doing well and want my friends to see, look how much of a fun family we are and stuff? That's one side of it that most people won't admit to. And then you're like, well, I just want to keep everybody in the loop so they know what's going on. I grew up in a time where, like, nobody kept anybody in the loop because that wasn't a thing that was even
we would have
a possibility.
At the end of the year, we had to write family Christmas letters to be like, here's what the Wallace Brown family's been up to.
Exactly.
2026.
And that was great. I was reading something the other day about, like, how my generation, we didn't have any of these things to worry about, like our behavior being recorded and, seeing who got left out of what party on a Saturday night and knowing exactly where your friends were at that exact moment, tracking people's locations. And we just have such access to people now. And I think for most people, if you really drill it down, there's probably 10 to 15 people in your life that would really care about this information and that you would be like happy having this information.
Well, that's what I don't understand. If it's like why am I going to text this to everybody I know? Yeah. I mean,
why not?
You kind of did though.
If you think that would be weird to send a mass text. So it's still weird to do it on something that isn't a phone.
It's strange now, especially as I've seen some of these kids, because some people I've been friends on Facebook with for 20 years, that I've seen kids go from their mother was pregnant to they are now in college.
Yeah.
That I do go like, do you know that you've never met me? And I know so much about you.
Yeah.
I've seen every soccer game that your mother's, like, I've seen all these things. And it comes from pride of, having your kid. I'm sure it does. But I wonder from the kid's perspective, they don't know who I'm. I'm some old bitch their mother used to go to school with. You know what I mean? They don't know me.
And did they consent to any of it?
That's my thing too, is to like, would, if on the flip side, you go like, hey, this girl named Heather that I haven't really talked to in earnest since about seventh grade. Anyway, I've sent her every photo of you that I've taken. You would be like, why?
She knows where you go to school.
Yeah.
She knows your favorite color. Mm-hmm. She knows your favorite animal and how it changed every year from the kindergarten to high school.
And it's a delight. I think they're all very cute. And when I see him go to college, in fact, my neighbor's kid, I hadn't seen him in a while. And he is like grown now. And I was like, he's a grown up. You know what I mean? But I see him as much as a neighbor does. And, not a ton. His parents and I are not social media friends. So for all I know, his whole life's on the internet. But, that kind of feeling,
but
I do get that.
Your experience is the normal one.
Yeah, exactly.
For
us to just be like,
I haven't seen that kid in a while. He really has grown.
Why would
you need to see him otherwise?
I would not. He is knee-high to a grasshopper. Now he looks like he'd play on a football team. And I was like, holy shit, who is that guy coming out of their house? I was like, oh, that's their youngest son. Like, holy shit. Because, like
you
said,
the cops. There's an intruder.
And they're like, that's just our son. Yeah. They're like, what does their son look like? I'm like, last time I saw him, he was 11. And that was 10 years ago. And
they're like, well, are we Facebook friends? Because every day I post how much he's grown.
No, truly. There are times that I'm like, bless your heart. I know your child more than your child would be comfortable that they do not know. And I've never met them one time in their life physically in person. I know so many details about their life. So it's just something to think about. I'm not telling you what to post or what not to post, but I will say those little pictures that say like, I'm just starting fifth grade. I'm like, that is a roadmap to predators. It just is a roadmap.
It totally is. And
you go, well, my friends on Facebook aren't predators. But yes, but your friend on Facebook might have printed that picture out to pin it up at her work on her, mm-hmm. you know, she's got a nice thing at her cubicle with all of her friends' kids and then some pervert that works with her or somebody that comes in and sweeps at the end of the night or whatever. You never know.
Or you get tagged in something and your settings, which you're unaware of, allow for like friends of friends to see your stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
lots to consider.
Nothing is safe once it's online. If you don't want everyone in the world to potentially see it, you shouldn't post it online. Which are they going to? No, most likely not. But if we all think of it like they could, it's like write it and regret it. Like, do you really mm-hmm. want this information going out? Like, do we need to see 800 pictures of their fifth grade birthday party at the local pool and all the kids are in swimsuits and everyone's posting stories and reels and sharing and stuff? And I know a lot of parents that are not comfortable with that. And it's a weird thing to navigate.
Well, and the real truth of the matter is Grok AI is being currently sued because of production of CSAM based on a gentleman generated 11,000 photos from a single photo of a child asleep on a couch in a full, she was fully covered in a t-shirt. She's got, you know, from her t-shirt all the way down to like maybe thighs or knees, and she was asleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. And that's all it took for there to be 11,000 images made of her. So you can't know where it goes. Separately, we covered that thing on True Crime. I don't know if it wasn't True Crime Headlines. It was some bonus content on Patreon, but a guy was really upset because he had taken a video of himself and his kid, who was like 13, doing something silly.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then people
yeah.
were like, look at this guy is in a sexual relationship with this yeah. teenager. And it was like, it got stripped from all context. And he's like, people are saying I'm a pedophile with mm-hmm. my own kid now. What do I do? How do I get this video back? Everybody's like, you can't, unfortunately.
You can't. Once it's left your hands, it's not yours anymore.
Nah. Nope. So it is not. Just well,
keep it in mind as school starts back. This is the time of year when we all see Brayden's name on their backpack and Brayden's favorite teacher and where they're going to school and pictures of them standing in front of the school with the school name. I'm like, y'all don't do that.
No. And there are like privacy settings where like me as your regular friend doesn't need to see that. You can do like Brayden safe list and just, add grandma, grandpa,
family,
cousin, sister,
you can do
whatever.
Like a family thing yes. on Instagram where only yes. those, but even then
it's getting on Meta servers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which
it's
is what can then be
uploaded
used to make
and LLMs can still scrub it all and just the internet has become a place that we no longer really have any control over.
No dominion or control. That's why I rarely post. Actually, I don't post anything really on my Instagram anymore.
I
was like,
cannot
I
think
will post
of the
it.
Last time I did.
Said I made my own website and it looks like a MySpace page and I will only put my blogs on there because you just sort of feel like this, like, I don't even know where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just text this link out to people to be like, I wrote this thing. But it's like, I don't, there's just something about like, it feels like different. The internet feels different sad way.
On vacation recently. I didn't post one picture of it because one, I'm like, well, that would alert everyone to the fact that I'm not home. Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly not going to post pictures of my kids. I don't do that anymore at all. I took all things kid related off my TikTok and I'm trying to figure out how to get all my shit downloaded from Instagram and Facebook so I can get them all off of there. Because, you know, I mean, I get it. When Ella was born, I was posting pictures all the time. She was that was 8 years ago. She was a sweet baby. I wanted to share it all, you know? And now, in hindsight, I'm like, that was unnecessary. And she's now of an age where she could tell me, hey, do you want me to do this or not? However, I'm not giving her that option because I'm the adult and I'm like, you don't know enough to know how to answer that question just yet.
No, truly. And a lot of, I think it was maybe the New York Times interviewed multiple kids of like mom bloggers as they got older. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, oftentimes they don't like it. And if their moms keep posting them, they don't talk to their moms when they leave their house anymore. So it's
there's
like
so many no contacts of those.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But it's turned into a, hopefully this helps folks. And this doesn't seem like you're getting in trouble because you're not. Because like you said, you do it for a good reason. But it just sucks because pedophiles. Big font, ruin the party. Tiny font. No, we're switching the font. Tiny font, pedophiles. Huge font, ruin the party.
So you got to get up close to see who ruined. Yeah. Now, it is going to look from afar like you're not a good party goer. It's going to look ruin like the party. You're saying you ruined the party.
T-shirts aren't the way for this, maybe. I think we've got the wrong medium. We'll think about it. Right. We're going to go back to the drawing board. But in the meantime, the sentiment stands. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Can we talk about the most underrated organ in your body? Your liver. It's doing 500 plus functions every single day, filtering unwanted elements, supporting digestion, helping with energy. But we never think about it until something's wrong. What if we actually supported it before problems started?
That's where DoseSphere Liver comes in. It's a clinically backed liquid liver supplement, not a capsule, not a powder. A 2-ounce daily shot that actually tastes like fresh squeezed orange juice. Zero sugar, zero calories, zero junk. It's just daily support for the organ that does the most.
Drink it every day and you can expect less sluggishness, fewer midday crashes, and better support for your metabolism and digestion. And this isn't just marketing. Dose has 2 double-blind, placebo-controlled studies backing up its positive impact on liver enzyme levels. Real science, real results.
Ready to give your liver the support it deserves? Head to dosedaily.co/creepy or enter creepy to get 35% off your first subscription. Your body does so much for you. Let's do something for it.
That's dosedaily.co/creepy for 35% off your first month subscription.
Well, speaking of sickos, our next one is from your daughter, Anonymous. And is called groomed at 14, then asked to be his character witness for his adoption application. Hi, guys. Thank you for your amazing podcast. I've listened for years and became a Patreon member 3 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer to have something joyful to listen to during my many hospital days. After your most recent Freaky Friday about the systems not wanting to ruin the man's life, I thought it would be time to write in my story. At age 14, a 25-year-old man at my church befriended me. We'd known each other for a few years in passing, and our families were friendly. We exchanged numbers, and within one text conversation, he admitted he had feelings for me, and he wanted to take me out on a date. Jumped to 4 months later, numerous secret hangouts and lots of texts exchanged, he asked me to be his girlfriend on my 15th birthday. He told his mom about our relationship, and she approached my mom to tell her that this relationship should be kept secret because I was underage. He was 10 years older than me and a scout leader. If this was to get out, he'd lose his scouting career. His mom was a matriarch of our church community. My mom was a single parent just trying to keep a roof over our heads. Against her better judgment, my mom agreed and told me that we had to stay a secret. Over the next year, we kept our relationship a secret. He'd shower me with gifts, phone credit so I could always be in touch. He'd wait by my school to pick me up to take me home, sneak around my house when my mom wasn't home to, quote, hang out. Once I turned 16, he announced on Facebook our relationship, and that was that. I was his. Over the next 6 years, his behavior became more and more controlling. He insisted I was to be a young mom, as he didn't want to be an old dad. He granted me permission to go to university because that was, quote, my time before I was to commit to him. He proposed the winter before I went to uni to make sure everyone knew I was taken. He escorted me everywhere and paid for everything. He would consistently lie to my face about the most mundane things. Nearer the end of our relationship, it felt like I had no way out. If I spoke about wanting to break up, he would stress I'd have wasted his time, and he's been patient waiting for me to be ready to be a wife and mother. Eventually, I handed back the ring and I left. It was the hardest decision to make, as I knew with leaving him, I was losing everything I knew at home. Our community at the church and our families were so entwined, but I knew I had to get out. Now, after 13 years of living life, traveling the world, building a career, buying a home with the actual love of my life, who I get to marry later this year, I feel like I'm in the life I belong. Then the plot twist hits. He was in my inbox on LinkedIn, of all places. He's blocked on all social media and on the phone because he would message me for years after we broke up, and even after he married his now wife. Wild. One evening, ironically 20 minutes after my weekly therapy session ended, I received a message from him asking for my contact details to give to his adoption agency to be a character reference as a previous partner. Absolute insanity. It was at this point I felt like I no longer had a choice. For years, I kept silent, despite knowing that the relationship we had was illegal and wrong in so many ways. I didn't ever feel like I needed justice. I just wanted to be free. But now, it wasn't just my safety at play. As someone who is considering adoption herself due to ongoing cancer treatment, I know the weight of the responsibility to these children. They need someone who understands safeguarding, someone who's not controlling and a pathological liar. After reaching out to the NCPCC, I was guided towards the Met Police, who took my claims very seriously. I had a clear statement, photographic proof, and friends and family all willing to make statements corroborating my claims. I'm still waiting on an outcome. It'll most likely be nothing at all in today's system, but I hope that this was enough to bring to light my concerns regarding his inability to be a safe guardian to any child going forward. It was incredibly hard to explore this relationship so early on into my new and exciting engagement, which should have been a beautiful time of celebration rather than time spent in police interview rooms. But my heart is full with the love and safety I have with my incredible partner, and I can't wait to be with him forever. Please see attached the fur baby tax and my ring, because who wouldn't be obsessed over this?
First of all, very sweet fur baby. And ooh, look at that. First of all, your nails.
Yeah.
Okay.
And love that ring. Cat's eye. Ooh. And the ring is gorgeous. It looks like eyeball, but the universe, which recently I just saw a video about how our eyeball and a nucleus are all the same thing, and we're all the universe, and everything looks the same. And my mind hasn't stopped thinking about it. So your ring's beautiful.
Are we? What all are we? You are right, though. And I'm glad you can say with clarity that this was wrong and illegal. I think when we look at stuff in the, you know, hindsight and be like, well, his mom was involved and my mom was involved and maybe it wasn't. It was like, no, they were abetting sexual grooming.
Yeah. It's wild for his mom to go to your mom and acknowledging the relationship and approving of it by saying they got to keep the secret because it could ruin his scouting career.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, I think his whole life needs to be ruined because he's a grooming pervert.
Yeah.
Who I do think has committed a crime. And I'm glad the police seem like they're taking an interest in it. I'm sorry that, like you said, you're spending part of your engagement having to sort through this. But I think it shows that he's this fixated groomer who feels entitled to you, that he was not only willing to write you multiple times after he was all married off, but that he would ask for something so egregious given his behavior was when you were a child. So he clearly does not see what he did to you as a child. And I looked it up. The age of consent is 16. So no wonder everybody was like, don't tell anybody for like 2 years, because I don't know. We did not get details. I'm not pushing you for details, but depending on what all he did in that time frame, that could be, you know, sexual activity with a child, but at the very least, like, facilitating, arranging it, grooming, you know, he's not really in, like, technically he's not like your pastor, because some places have laws that, like, if you're a teacher or a pastor or whatever, and you've abused this position of trust, that specifically is a crime. But in this case, I mean, at the very least, it seems like he's grooming and maybe perhaps more, but yeah, what a dipshit that he thought.
And
he
if you're
ask.
A scout, you're around children. So, I mean, who's to say you were the only one? You definitely shouldn't have a kid. I don't think any man that at 25 years old thinks it's okay to date a 14-year-old should ever be allowed to have kids.
No, and I was curious because I was like, in the DSM, you know, pedophilia is defined, but it's my understanding that hebephilia, which is what Megyn Kelly was like, well, Jeffrey Epstein wasn't really a pedophile, but intentionally was like, not intentionally, but was like left out of the, as like, well, this isn't a diagnosable thing. And I'm like, how many men were on that panel that decided that we shouldn't put perverts that want to have sex with kids in a manual to like diagnose them?
I think that that should be diagnosable.
I think it should be. Yeah. I mean, psychologists, let me know if I'm wrong, but my brief Googling, I was like, hang on a minute, because I know that a lot of guys like this, who, because I was like, what type of audacity do you have to have that you would reach out to your victim, not just for years afterwards, but then also like for a favor, mm-hmm. ultimately a favor, and he sees you as a former partner, not as a victim of his perversion. So I was like, oh, he and I have different definitions. So what is that person, what must he think? And it's like,
I think it's still manipulative.
No,
100%. I think it's intentional to be like,
yeah,
I'm doing this now with my life.
I'm a groomer. I'm not a groomer. I'm a dad. I'm going to be a dad. You can help me out.
Or a way like, this will make her jealous because she'll think of the life we could have had. I think anything like this is weighted. It's not just as
a favor,
innocent as, yeah, could you write me a recommendation? Also, like you said, what a fucking idiot you have to be like, hey, I know I abused you for over a decade, but could you tell everyone I'd be a great dad to this, like, adoption agency?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's like a he feels entitled, or it's like an unfinished business. Like, mm-hmm. oh, well, if I could just message her that I'm adopting someone now. But, and I think too, talking with the police about, I don't want to hear from him. Like, this is harassment. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it's stalking or what might be the appropriate charge, but mentioning that, like, I deserve to be protected from being harassed. Like, yeah. I deserve, this man is obsessed with me or thinking about me enough that he's found me. Like, he understands he's blocked and he still found my account.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So I would say that probably falls under some laws, but yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck with getting,
well, thank you for sharing your story, and congratulations on being now with the perfect person for you and on that gorgeous ring. And it's like with so many stories like this, it'll resonate with others who will then feel less alone.
I hope so. I hope so. You didn't do anything wrong, and absolutely look at them kitties. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Ooh, it's summertime. I'm hot, but I want to look cute, and I want something that I don't have to spend a lot of time on, because I feel like, you know, everybody's having fun partying. You don't want to like spend all your time trying to get ready. And I have so many pieces from Quince that I can just keep wearing on repeat all summer long. There's these elevated essentials. They're made out of nice materials. We got European linen, organic cotton, washable silk, but they skip all the traditional retail markup that you're going to pay for something that looks and feels this good.
They got so much linen. They got linen shirts, 100% European linen pants. Linen is one of the coolest fabrics, mm-hmm. especially when I saw my phone said it was 99 degrees outside today. So I'm trying to dress cool, but like you said, elevated and still mm-hmm. look put together. Dresses, tops, starting at $32. Soft, easy denim, organic cotton sweaters that are perfect for layering on a cool summer night. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and that's not by accident.
And the best part was when I wear my lovely washable tank top, when I wear my tinsel dress, when I wear my new cotton shirt that I got, I can feel good about it, not just because it looks good and feels good, but because Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen entirely. So you're paying for quality, not brand name. And it's not just the clothing. Quince has become a go-to for elevated essentials across your home, your kitchen, bedding. It's the rare thing where everything feels elevated, but still easy.
Make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/creepy for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy. Well, one more time for this time of more shitty men. This one also from your daughter, anonymous, darling. Different one. And it is called, I got a coworker fired and I have no regrets. Sup, besties. I've written to the show before, but this time I'd like to remain anonymous. And I changed the names of the people involved. Don't get me wrong. I stand by my actions. But you never know who might be listening, you know? So throughout the 2010s, I taught at a residential alternative school. Most of the students were 17 to 19 years old. and many of them came from vulnerable or unstable environments. It was challenging at times, but I was on a teaching team with some incredible educators. I'd been there for about 6 years when there was some organizational restructuring, and we added a counselor named Brad to our teaching team. We were psyched. Brad wasn't a stranger. He'd worked in a different department for a long time. He was a really nice guy who got along well with everyone, always volunteered for extra projects, planned holiday parties and field trips, and was exceptionally good at his job. He was patient and kind, but he was also a straight shooter, brutally honest, and could see right through bullshit. He always said that was because he was a single dad raising a teenage son. We had so much respect for the guy, and the students loved him. And then we got a new student, Jane. She was about to turn 18, had dropped out of regular high school, had no parental support, and struggled with her mental health. Almost immediately, she started getting into verbal altercations with other students and storming out of class. Brad would let her sit in his office to calm down and then escort her back to class. This happened multiple times over the course of a few weeks, and eventually, it turned into Jane skipping class completely to hang out in Brad's office. When she started showing up in his office long after classes had ended for the day, I warned Brad that this girl might be developing inappropriate feelings for him. "I know," he said. "I've discussed boundaries with her numerous times." Brad then asked the team if we could help him reinforce those boundaries by being present every time Jane came into his office. This strategy seemed to work. Jane still came around, but she never stayed long. A few weeks after this conversation, Brad's mother was diagnosed with cancer. As her primary caregiver, Brad was responsible for getting her to treatments. Normally, this didn't affect his work schedule, but one Friday morning, Brad called our team lead to let us know that his mother was very ill and he would not be at work that day or the following Monday. No problem. Of course, we understood. Now, our department's only printer was in Brad's office, so the whole team was in and out of there a lot, even if Brad himself wasn't. Brad always said that he enjoyed the company. So it wasn't out of the ordinary when that Monday, I went to his office to get something off the printer and found it to be out of paper. When I grabbed a new ream from the shelf next to Brad's desk, I noticed that on his very large desk calendar, in plain sight, the previous Friday and weekend were marked with red hearts and the words, J. B-Day Hilton, written in the boxes in Brad's oh-so-familiar lefty scrawl. What the actual fuck? I thought to myself. The B-Day thing was pretty innocuous, but the hearts? Kind of weird. Brad wasn't really a doodling hearts kind of guy. I kind of forgot about it, though, until one of my team members mentioned that Jane was out sick, and one of the other kids in her class had ratted Jane out for calling in, quote, hungover. Because Jane had turned 18 over the weekend, and her much older boyfriend had gotten her booze and a hotel room to party in at the local Hilton. Surely that was just a coincidence, right? Surely there's nothing nefarious going on. Surely the J on Brad's calendar didn't stand for Jane, and the Hilton didn't refer to the only hotel in town, right? I shared my suspicions with my teammates. Turns out, they'd had the same ones. Our team lead told us to keep this to ourselves and that she'd do some investigating. To this day, I have no idea the extent of that investigation, but we were absolutely shocked to learn the following. At some point, Brad had entered into a sexual relationship with Jane. It was unclear if this had occurred before she legally turned 18. Brad used his sick mother as an excuse to call out of work, but she did not, in fact, have cancer. Brad had entered into similar relationships with students over the years. Apparently, it was an open secret with alumni. Brad was fired, but insisted that the whole thing was a misunderstanding. He also lost his counseling credentials. According to the staff gossip, after Brad was terminated, Jane quit school and moved in with him. They went Facebook official and maintained a relationship for another few months. I have no idea where he is now. It's been a decade, and this situation still angers me. Up until then, I'd always thought I was a good judge of character, and this scumbag in sheep's clothing totally flew under my radar. You really never know, do you? Anyway, fuck that guy. Much love to you and the Sinisterhood community.
Yeah, fuck this guy for real, because this is so insidious mm-hmm. when you're not just an employee of the school or around kids, but you're like the trusted safe space.
You're the and counselor? You turn
out to be the groomer. But there, I don't, you did not say where you were, but anonymous, but the Texas law, there's a special statute that's for a misuse of your job position, especially like an improper relationship between an educator and a student, and it doesn't matter the age. So that's the vital thing here, is because I think guys like Brad, let's just put it and call it what it is, perverts like Brad
yeah.
think there's this magic date, like when she turns 18. But I'm happy to say we have laws like this where it does not matter. Like the fact that you were her teacher, you were her a educator at all, you're above her, you know, mm-hmm. an aide, a coach, you're part of the staff, whatever, counselor. So I feel like the any person enrolled in the school, like the kids, like that's, it doesn't need to be like his student or his exact, sounds like she was his responsibility as far as her, the counseling stuff. So that makes it even worse. But I'm glad that there's laws. I hope there was one like that where you're at, but it does make it hard when the grooming is effective and the victim's like, I'll stay with him.
Yeah. Taking advantage of an already very vulnerable child.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
the school in general. I mean, if you're going to a alternative school, you've had issues in your regular school and they've mm-hmm. sent you there. So you're already in a vulnerable place.
Yeah. And I think too, Brad lying and being like, oh, is my mom is sick.
That's
he didn't
crazy.
Say, I'm taking a special person out for their birthday this week, you know, but making up a fake thing, like that's consciousness of guilt. Like you lied about it. You knew it was bad. You knew you shouldn't be doing it.
Also, don't ever lie. Your mom's going to get cancer. I hope she doesn't. But like, I never, ever say.
Don't speak that into existence.
No, no, no. I'm never like, sorry, I can't come. Our kids are sick. I don't. If it's. You know, you can get around something without saying something crazy that mm-hmm. you've now spoken into the universe. And karma comes around and is like, hey, you pervert and groomer, guess what? Now your mom really does have cancer.
Right. And it's like, now you can't use that as if, yeah, don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that on me. You better go. Like, no, I feel like when people are like him, though, they don't care. Like, it's whatever I can to cover up what I'm doing, because he sounds like a very effective snake. And I totally get it, anonymous, to be like, you do not know. Like, this guy seems so nice, though.
Yeah. I mean, if he'd been doing it with others, she wasn't the first. What I hate to hear is that it was an open secret with alumni.
Mm.
Because if the alumni knows about it, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. You're telling me there's not some staff member that also has heard word of this or had an inkling, if it's been going on for years and the mm-hmm. students know about it?
Yeah, no, I think so. It makes me think of that podcast that was the, I think it was Portland Public Radio came out, where it was like multiple students on their like 20th anniversary was like, oh yeah, Mr. Jones like had an affair with me. Oh, and it was like, he had an affair with my older cousin. He had an affair with my younger sister. I mean, it was like this person had yeah. done things for decades. And you're right, it's not just one or the other. And that's the hard part, is like, what, who knew and how? But it sounds like at least for a time, he was able to keep it from his colleagues. But it is rough when perhaps for whatever reason, those alumni that knew about it were like, well, but no one's going to believe us, or we can't tell, or, you know, whatever. Or, well, we're 18, so it's fine, not knowing yeah. that there's a law that protects you.
And guys like this are a big reason why nobody does say anything, because like you said, mm-hmm. anonymous, he's great. He yeah, shows up for everything. The kids love him. Everybody, he's jovial. He's a good guy. He's always down to volunteer. And that is by design, because yeah. he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So those people are the ones that can fly under the radar, but they're always going to fuck up. And you get overconfident and then put a bunch of red hearts on your huge desk calendar, knowing that your office is a public place because of this printer thing. Mm-mm, and not mm-mm. even just like hearts, with exactly what you're going to do. It's so
take
stupid.
Underage minor for sex at local hotel date and time.
Buy
I will be checking
booze.
In. Yes.
And drink, it's like, 18 isn't even the legal limit to drink. And I mean, here, I don't know where you are, but like, you know, it's
no,
it's not even like she's 21. So now she can get drunk.
No, he's like, I'm going to get this teen girl so mm-hmm. drunk she can't go back to high school. What is wrong with you, you fucking pervert, Brad? Yeah. And the thing about it is, we see it sometimes on Reddit relationship advice where someone's like, hey, I'm 31 and my friend is also 31. And then he just brought this girl that just turned 18 to our group dinner date and was like, I'm dating her now. And we kind of feel weird about it. I'm like, say out loud that mm-hmm. you feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. say
to
out
him,
loud. That,
to him.
And to the child, say, are you yeah. safe? Would you yeah. like one of us to take you home? Are you okay? Because yeah. this is crazy to do a bite it. That it's like, well, he made it Facebook official. Excuse
yes,
me, what?
Yes, What kind of delusional idiot thinks, who has a teenage son himself, is like, I'm going to post on Facebook that I'm with someone half my age that's closer to my son's age than is to mine. Like, mm-mm. you don't see anything wrong with that. I would be mortified. If I was a person to do these things, mm-mm. I feel like I would try to keep it under wraps. But I, like you said, they're like, well, she's 18. So now mm-hmm. we can. And it's like, so y'all just started dating this first day you posted mm-hmm. this on Facebook, Jerry mm-hmm. Seinfeld?
Yeah, or it's given J.P. Miller, yeah.
Were you having a relationship yeah. for at least a year beforehand, mm-hmm. 100% having sex? You didn't wait till anybody was 18 to do that?
Nah.
It's, you know, age is not just a number. It's
no,
it's way more than
go
that.
With it. Yeah, mm-hmm. there's things that develop along with it. So, yeah, I think the more that we go like, what the fuck's wrong with you, Brad?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's gross.
That's disgusting.
Took a teen kid to a hotel, you pervert.
Publicly like, shame them. And if you're yes. at that hotel and you see a man and a girl like this come in, I mean, see something, say something. Maybe right. you call the cops and they're like, come out and it's a dad and his daughter. And they can confirm that. And it's like, okay. But wouldn't you rather be wrong than... then let something like that go on under.
I mean, if you're taking beer up to the room with yeah. a teen girl, yeah, I don't, even if it is their kid, they shouldn't be giving them beer.
It's wild. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people in things like this get involved, even tangentially. They don't like a hotel person, but like somebody at some point when you get that feeling and you're like, you this ain't it. Right, there's a reason you had that feeling and you're not wrong. If mm-hmm. something's like, this seems weird, then it is. So yeah. say something to someone.
Trust your gut for sure. real, for real. Well, thank you for this one, Anonymous. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. The thing about my house is I have an eclectic gathering of objects and items, and I need
much like
something.
How an oddities would list what they are.
When the bug man came in and was like, I like your dining room, I was like, do you mean the Blues Brothers statues? Do you mean this beautiful bookshelf from Article that has a huge banana on it that I keep? It's like a sculpture of a banana and a Bigfoot with its hands out and it's holding this pouch that has a spell in it, if I'm being honest. And he's like, yeah, the whole place. I love it. And I'm like, let me tell you about Article, buddy. It is so easy. This classy thing can hold all of your strangest oddities. And the thing about Article is I need something in my house that makes me look classy and upscale. But that can hold a banana, for instance.
Yeah, you got to have a banana holder. Article has seriously changed the way we shop for furniture. Their curated collections like mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi make it super easy to mix and match pieces that actually look good together. That's what I love about it. We already had a lot of light wood, trying to keep it airy and light. And the mirror that we got for the living room fits in perfectly. It's a light colored rattan. It has a nice design that isn't overwhelming. And it's just really an accent piece for the room where I'm like, this did elevate the room. I used to just have a regular like brown circle mirror there. And now I got this cool ass looking mirror and everybody gets to know that it came from Article.
Mm-hmm.
With Article, you can tell they're not throwing in filler pieces just to fill a catalog. And if you're not sure where to start, their support team is great and even offers free design help, fast delivery, fair pricing, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. It's just a smarter way to furnish your space.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/creepy and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/creepy for $50 off your purchase of $100 or more. Well, this next one we got is from Shauna, and the subject line is unwanted body in the basement. And they write, "Hi, my name is Shauna, and I live in Saskatchewan, Canada. I'm going to tell you about the unwanted body in the basement. In my 20s, I worked with my parents as a house painter. We were working a job over a weekend, and my eldest brother was helping us. We made good progress on the Saturday, so my mom gave me Sunday off and told me to sleep in. About 5 a.m., I heard thumping coming down the stairs next to my basement room. I looked at the clock, figured it was my dad being his usual self and getting an early start getting ready. All of our painting tools were in the laundry room on the other side of the staircase from my bedroom. So I rolled over and went back to sleep. I probably swore under my breath, too. At about 9 a.m., I woke up and stumbled into the bathroom in my usual underwear and nothing else. The bathroom was on the other side of the basement from my bedroom. I noticed a mattress cover that had been on the couch that sat next to the bathroom was now laying across the bathroom door. I tried to pick it up, and it wouldn't move. So I stepped over it, and that's when it moved. I was still not awake, so it didn't hit me that A, the blanket was too heavy to move, B, that it later moved on its own, and C, that I had seen hair when it moved, not until I was sitting on the toilet. I thought about it, decided that maybe one of my brother's friends had crashed the night, and I decided to quickly finish in the bathroom and run back to my bedroom in case they woke up, because I was all tits out for the world to see. I got dressed, verified that yes, there was a person wrapped in a mattress cover on the floor of the basement, though I couldn't tell who, and ran upstairs to see if my family was still there. Thankfully, they were out in the garage, my dad and brother having a cigarette, and my mom keeping them company. I went out, and everyone said good morning. Hey, what's up? My mom asked. Is there supposed to be someone in the basement? I replied. She replied, you mean someone other than you? Yeah, I said. No, why? She asked. I told them, because there is. My dad and brother jumped to their feet and ran into the house, my mom and I at their heels. Mom stopped in the kitchen to call the RCMP. This was 25 years ago and long before anyone in the family had a cell phone. When the dispatcher picked up the phone, my mom said that, quote, there is an unwanted body in the basement, and asked if they could please come get it. Well, the RCMP showed up not 5 minutes later. Silent approach, unmarked car, plainclothes detectives. A few minutes later, they bring a teenage girl upstairs and ask her if this was her house. She was so out of it, she had no idea. Turns out my brother had gone out in the wee hours of the morning to have a cigarette and forgot to lock the back door. This girl, drunk or high or whatnot, had stumbled in thinking it was her home. I honestly don't know how she got into our backyard because it's a very complicated yard to get through. I could not sleep without making sure that door was locked until I moved out again. I often think about that girl and wonder what happened to her. I hope she was able to clean up her life and that she's living her best life now. Go mom for being like, there's an unwanted body.
That's the funniest way you could have described that. It's true. And opposed to a wanted body, no one asked for this one to be there.
Yeah, no one was like, oh, that's where we store them. Mm-hmm. Or like, it's moving too. That's like, she did leave that part out. Like, there's an unwanted body,
yeah.
Person of a body, body of a person.
Damn. It would have been before Ring cameras, but to see a young girl just out of her mind stumble into a house and be like, I don't know, I'm sleeping here. I mean, I'm not going to say there wasn't a point in my life where that could have happened to me.
Also, yeah, you feel bad for the girl that, like, you wake up and you're like, there's police detectives.
Yeah.
What is happening? And they're like, this is not your house. And you're like, what? I definitely passed out at home last night. And they're like, you did not. Mm-mm. You came in, you broke and entered. You're like, I didn't mean to do either.
Yeah. Through a complicated backyard. Sometimes when you're drunk, like, you can do things that would be near impossible if sober.
I could do anything.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, there's 18 gates and a moat around this backyard. Cool. I can get through it. No problem.
Yeah, I got this. Like, yeah, let's do it. Oh, man, I love it. Well, I'm glad it was a friendly body, a reasonably friendly body, Shauna, yeah. Not like you tripped on them and they were like, ha! You were like, I got to fight this basement.
God, you trip over, you fall. All you've got on is your underwear. She's screaming. You're screaming. Everyone's like, What's happening?
Yeah. I'm glad you were
sleep in.
Just tiptoed it out just enough to tell your parents. But yeah, when your kid comes upstairs and is like, so who's that you got sleeping in the basement? And mm-hmm. everyone's like, nobody. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Who?
Gotta lock them doors.
Great question. Well, thank you very much, Shauna. And I'm glad it was a friendly body, like I said. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. It's that time of year where you think you're going to bed, but you're really going into a sauna where you're covered with the most hot blankets and it's horrible and miserable, unless you're getting into my bed, which has the most amazing Boll & Branch sheets. And when I slip my foot between the flat sheet and the top sheet, and I'll tell you, Boll & Branch, you brought me around on the flat sheet. I was always like, I don't want a scratchy mess of fabric atop me. But with Boll & Branch, it is a smooth, buttery, soft, and cooling part of my bedtime routine, because I'm like, I need to get my humidifier going, my fan going, and then I need to slip my feet into my cool Boll & Branch sheets. And I have not slept better since when I've gotten these sheets. They really do get softer with every mm-hmm. wash, and they're just, the airflow is the game changer.
I had and like most nights, a child in the bed, which ups the degrees of the bed quite a bit because
just
they're
a little bit
huddled next to me. But I don't wake up in a pool of sweat because I've got head to toe Boll & Branch. We've got fitted sheet. All of our sheets are Boll & Branch. We have the sheet. Then I have the waffle blanket, which I love. And then on top of that, I have a duvet. And mm-hmm. It's like, do you want the duvet on? Okay, then we can just slip that to the end, and then you just have a waffle blanket in your sheet. You get to control how much you want, and everything just feels so soft and high mm-hmm. end. You feel like, I've got my stuff together.
Yeah, it is. You feel like this, you know what? The rest of my life perhaps is sweaty and in shambles, but at least in my bedroom. Not my Boll & Branch sheets, where everything is cool, peaceful, and always happy. Mm-hmm. Sleep cooler this summer with Boll & Branch during their annual summer event. For a limited time, get 20% off site-wide at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Boll & Branch, bollandbranch.com/creepy. Code creepy to take 20% off. bollandbranch.com/creepy. Code creepy. Exclusions apply.
Well, Tiff wrote this next one in, and the subject line is a near-death experience or jump to a different timeline. Hi, ladies. I recently discovered the podcast, and after binge listening at a completely unhinged 3.5 times speed, I've somehow already caught up to your 2023 episodes. The moment you introduced the Freaky Friday segment, I knew I had a story I needed to share. To this day, I still don't know what happened. Was it just a case of fragmented memory? Or did I never actually make it out of the school? I was a regular in my elementary school nurse's office. I was an asthmatic kid who seemed to catch every illness that came around, and my mom wasn't exactly the type to keep me home for something as minor as bronchitis. So my story begins when I started feeling sick during class in 5th grade. It started with a headache. By midday, it had turned into a full-blown migraine. My chest felt heavy. Every breath I took effort, and I could tell something wasn't right. I raised my hand, told my teacher I wasn't feeling well, and made the familiar walk to the nurse's office. She gave me some medicine and told me to lie down. I remember staring at the ceiling. My vision was kind of fuzzy around the edges, just willing the pain in my head away. Not long after my arrival, the door opened, and another student walked in with the same primary symptom. A few minutes later, there was another, then another. Every time I drifted towards sleep, the door would creak open again. More kids, more headaches. Before long, every cot and every chair was full. The nurse started parking students on the floor because there simply wasn't any room left. The room felt strangely quiet despite being filled to the brim with sick kids. It was almost dreamlike. At this point, my eyelids became unbearably heavy, and every instinct in my body told me to close my eyes. So I did. And that's where my memory ends. I don't remember leaving the nurse's office. I don't remember going home. I don't even remember the next few days. It's as if someone cut that entire section of memory out, like a book with a chapter ripped out. The book goes on without it, but you may have missed something important within those last few absent pages. Later, I learned there had been a carbon monoxide leak at my school. So many students became sick that they eventually realized something was wrong. According to my mom, the school sent parents a measly email explaining what had happened. To my knowledge, they didn't evacuate the school or send anyone to the hospital. The school day just continued. So, was it simply carbon monoxide poisoning severe enough to leave me with temporary retrograde amnesia? Was it a near-death experience my brain refuses to revisit? Or, and I know this sounds insane, but did I actually die that day? Did I somehow end up in one of those quantum immortality situations where consciousness continues in the version of reality where you survive? Or maybe it's none of those things, and this is simply one of those intensely personal Mandela effects where my memories don't quite line up with reality. I'll attach the short article about the carbon monoxide leak because I'd love to hear what you think. And if the story isn't strange enough, maybe next time I'll write in about growing up in a haunted house and the morning I woke up with what looked like a ghostly handprint on my leg. Thanks for keeping me company through my overnight hospital pharmacy shifts. You make those long nights fly by, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this one.
Well, my first thought is the amount of time I spend thinking about quantum immortality, and if I have also died at some point in my life, takes up more hours of my day than I would like to admit. So I get it. I'm constantly like, what if I died then? And like, would I even know? Or would my consciousness just continue? And you like shift over a timeline that's very similar to the one you were in. And in the other one, this is where I get confused. Because in the other one, you're dead. And the people in that timeline, hypothetically, are coping with your death and move on and you're no longer there. In this other one that you scooched over to, is it like everything, all your memories and stuff are, I guess those are with your own consciousness. So if in this new timeline, that might be why you're like, no, it was Bernstein. And everyone's like, no, it was Bernstein. And you're, but enough things are similar to where your family, in one timeline, you're dead. But in this one, they still like think that you're just, everything's normal. Maybe you just forgot a few things. Is that how that works?
I feel like that's what Neil deGrasse Tyson was explaining it on an interview one time, and that you wouldn't, because of the nature of consciousness and reality, that you might not know absent, if there was a copy, there might be, like you said, little hairline differences in the copy that might make sense or whatever, but not make sense, but might like, spark your interest. Like, hey, that seemed different than what I remembered. But yeah, I don't know. That's the concept of a carbon monoxide leak definitely freaks me out.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if the article said some students and a teacher were sent to the nurse's office, and you were like, it was so full. There was 1,000.
Yeah.
It was like every student. They're like, just a couple folks. After, it was like kind of important.
After like 3 coming in within a matter of 10 minutes saying, I have a headache and I'm nauseous, that seems like enough to start questioning things.
That's a red flag.
It's yeah. And as a school, you should have a carbon monoxide detector, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, this was 2012. So, I mean, that doesn't seem like a new invention to have.
No, they've been around a minute.
No, it's that's the kind of stuff that's in the silent killers.
Yeah, it truly is.
And so you never know. If there was a situation of quantum immortality, this, you know, a mass, you were apparently the first, or maybe your asthma had you more afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps, you know, like you said, you didn't make it out of that school. And, but you would have no way of knowing. So it's like, if I did die and I was in a new reality, would you behave differently if you didn't and you just had a carbon monoxide? And if so, behave differently. And if not, then I guess it doesn't matter. Maybe we're all dead. We all got taken out in some mass event.
I think about it so much.
The next one.
I'm like, is it where really the living are the only ones to mourn the dead, because the dead just move into another timeline? So you're essentially like, I mean, immortal. But at some point in each time, like, okay, say I died and now I'm in this timeline. and but I'm dead in another one. So when I like die in this one, what happens?
Some people believe you go to heaven. Some people believe your consciousness goes back to source and gets recycled and comes back in a different vessel. Either some people believe like total reincarnated, you go somewhere totally different.
No, others I'm asking believe, specifically in the terms of quantum immortality.
That's what I'm saying. And so am I. So and so there's not like a it, this is how it happens. There's multiple theories and multiple things that people believe. And so one of them is that you come back and you're recycled in your same like soul group. So it's like, you know, like sometimes people are like that my kid told me that they're my dad or that mm-hmm. they're my grandma or whatever. They're my grandma's best friend. And so that might be why, but I don't know what is the inciting incident that means you go from here to just yourself in another timeline to you're here and you're somebody else in a different timeline other than maybe if the I would say when your physical body's done, but that doesn't make sense because if it's done in one, they just send you to the next one. Mm-hmm. So perhaps there's some larger divine plan that's like, well, you're not done yet. So we just got to send you to the next one so you can finish that. And then you get to go back to source or whatever. So that becomes the question of like, do you go back? And when it's a quantum immortality thing, is it similar to a near-death experience, but you're not asked, do you want to come here or do you want to go mm-hmm. back? Because a lot of people, the NDEs are like kind of given this choice. And if it's like multiple stages of our lives, sometimes we're allowed to choose to come back or not. Other times we maybe don't have a choice to come back or not. And we get just sent to the next timeline or sent to source. And as far as like one prevailing, like scientific truth, there is none, like, cause it is all just like theory. So multiple.
And we wouldn't know.
Things. No, that's what Neil deGrasse Tyson said.
Yeah. The weird little differences, Mandela mm-hmm. effect stuff. As far as what you experienced, the gap of time would really bother me. I mean, that's honestly a big reason why I stopped drinking. I also mm-hmm. hated being hungover, but mm-hmm. I couldn't stand the idea that things had happened the night before that I couldn't remember. But I was mm-hmm. obviously like conscious and participating. I was just like blackout drunk. And that just really scared me. So to be a kid and not even get to have the fun part of drinking and you're like, what happened the past 5 days? I would be interviewing everybody in my family and asking, right? Like, what exactly happened? I need a step-by-step timeline and yeah. try to piece it all together because that is, it's disconcerting for sure.
Yeah, at some point as a kid, I just got this weird feeling of like, sometimes I don't remember things, so I have to write them down. Anyway, here we are now, and I have two fireboxes full of journals. So that's a part of it is I don't like losing my faculties and I don't like not remembering stuff. But it's funny because when I do write stuff down, I'm like, I don't have to remember that now. And then I go back and I'm like, ooh, what a fun story I mm-hmm. wrote. Because sometimes I don't remember it. But man, I'm interested if other people have some quantum immortality experiences to write them in.
Yeah.
Or if we have like a physicist or a quantum physicist that listens and can help give us the old. Yeah. If you're Neil deGrasse Tyson, write in and explain it to us. We'll get him on the show.
If you're Neil deGrasse Tyson, I have a lot of questions for you. They don't stop with quantum immortality.
Exactly. I got a whole lot of questions, buddy. Well, thank you very much for sharing that one with us, Tiff. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This final one we have is from my daughter Anonymous, and its subject line is Creepy Walks. Hello, Mother and Aunt Christy. Before I dive in, I just want to thank you both for the kindness, compassion, and empathy you bring to every episode. The way you handle the hardest stories to shed light on the injustices of an unfair system gives me hope that our vote will be our voice. With that, let's get into it. Several months ago, I started getting more intentional about walking consistently and trying to hit 10,000 steps daily. I've been doing really good with it. It's been really good for me to have some me time and be outside. My usual route is rather uneventful, so Sinisterhood is my usual companion for entertainment. However, I'll tell you about two walks in June that creeped me out. My husband and I took our boys camping over Father's Day weekend. They're 6 and 3, so you can imagine what a blast they had staying up late and being dirty and feral for 4 days. This campground was a long loop with a playground at the far end by the lake. We were camping at the other end. The boys thought I was the funnest mom ever when I kept suggesting we walk down to the park. Really, I wanted to get my steps in and keep them occupied for a bit. I was holding both of their hands and we were happily skipping in puddles in the road when a man in his 50s or 60s came flying out of his camper and came directly towards us, saying something. I didn't understand what he said, so I hollered back, "What was that?" and tightened my grip on my son's hands. The man said, "Hey, come look. Come look at these toads I got back here." What the fuck? What? Why? Wait. What? Wait. Is a strange man trying to lure us to a second location? Not today, asshole. Without missing a beat, I hollered, "No, we don't want to see that." I scooped my 3-year-old up and started to slow jog with my 6-year-old's hand still in mine. When we got closer to our camper, my 6-year-old said that he wanted to go see the toads. Of course he did. In reality, this guy probably wanted to innocently give my kids a classic boyhood experience. Was there a toad? Probably. They were all over the place. But we're certainly not going to go with a strange man to see a toad. Even if we weren't in actual danger, it ended up being a great teaching moment for my kids, especially the 6-year-old, to reinforce the rule we have about not going with strangers, even if they have puppies, candies, toys, or toads. Grown-ups never need help from kids is also a Sinisterhood addition to our family rulebook. I made him repeat to Dad what had happened. A stranger asked if we wanted to see toads. We said no loudly, then ran home. I'm equal parts proud and disgusted of how I parented the situation and how well my son responded with me. Proud that they understand the rules and what to do, disgusted that we even have to talk about it because of the world we live in. My goal as a mom is to raise boys who will be boys when it comes to playing with toads and laughing at farts, but men when it comes to considering how their presence affects women and children. They're very young, so we're starting with putting the toilet lids down, holding doors open, and asking for hugs first. For the record, we ended up finding our own toads later, which was way more fun than looking at pre-caught toads. The next creepy walk was more paranormal in nature. I do the thing that women are taught not to do. I walk the same route alone at night with both earbuds in, armed with nothing but rage and a false belief that nothing bad will happen to me. I do it anyways because I'm privileged to live in a very safe neighborhood. My husband has my location, and 50 of my neighbor's Ring cameras will record anything that happens to me and establish a timeline. I go out with a "you'll find me where I fought" attitude. Besides, I have every fucking right to enjoy my neighborhood at any time of day. Right, Heather? Damn right. Okay, back to the story. Like I said, I live in a very safe neighborhood, or so I thought. Picture this. It's early June. The sun is just setting on the horizon. It's warm with a gentle breeze blowing through the trees. The lightning bugs are flashing their booties looking for a hot date, and the streetlights are just coming on. It's the perfect weather for an evening walk. My kids are finally asleep, and I'm ready for some me time and 20 minutes of Sinisterhood. About halfway through my walk, I spot something red floating in front of me. It's a balloon. Huh, I thought. That's odd. I walked this same route this morning, and it hadn't been here earlier. Maybe someone had a birthday party? On a Monday? Weird. I was engrossed in the podcast, so I didn't think much of it and kept walking. After a few more steps, I realized that it wasn't tied to a mailbox or a fence or tangled in some shrubbery. No, the red balloon was tied to a storm drain. I stopped dead in my tracks. Rationally, I knew almost immediately that one of my neighbors spent $1.50 on a fantastic joke and was probably laughing hysterically at their Ring camera right then. Realistically, I wasn't taking a chance on this so-called joke and coming face-to-face with Pennywise in real life. I had 3 options. 1, turn around and go home, obviously. 2, cross the street and put some distance between me and Pennywise. I know I won't be able to resist looking at the storm drain, and what if I see Pennywise in real life? No, this option is off the table. 3, be brave and walk on. Ultimately, I chose to be brave and kept walking, but I'll be damned if I didn't look over my shoulder and my pace didn't quicken. So what do we think? Do I have a funny but sick neighbor, or has Pennywise moved in? This would scare me, dude.
Thank you for the picture, and we will post this on our socials. neighbors be just doing shit.
Georgie,
and
Georgie.
I mean, is this funny? Hey. Yes.
Yeah.
Would I also be like, who? Which one of you motherfuckers?
My old neighbors, their house, shout out, I love them. Their house had a storm drain, and at Halloween they would do that, and I could see the storm drain from my house, and there would be multiple kids would go, ah! Like, they would get them every
it's
time.
It's a good joke, for sure.
Especially if you put a Pennywise face down in the storm drain.
No, they have that now. They have, like, the whole, like, kind of piece of cardboard banner thing you can put over the sewer up. That looks like he's down there.
That's so fucked up.
No, it's, I mean, come Halloween.
You might have that
going on. You understand this. June, the month of June, you're not expecting to see this. So, you're like, oh, no.
It's Pennywise.
Pennywise is usually only here at Halloween. Why are you here in June?
He's like, nobody said I was only at Halloween. You're like, God damn it. It's true, though. Yeah, that is yeesh. I definitely would have quickened my pace and kept walking. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You absolutely have the absolute right to walk in your neighborhood wherever you want and however you want. And fuck them. That's your shit. I thought that recently. I was like, what if someone was like trying to track when I would go for a walk or for a run? I was like, I'll kill them. I'll have to kill them. That's the only answer.
Yeah.
So I'm not going down. I'll say that.
Just wear that.
You or me.
Wear that pedophile shirt and leave you
all block letters. Yeah. And they're like, whoa, never mind. I'm like, no.
I thought I was bad. I'm sorry, ma'am. Keep on walking.
Well, speaking of our t-shirt, I don't know about this toad guy. I don't know that you're going up to a man's camper. And like, even if, like, best case scenario, this is someone's grandpa and he's really nice.
Which I think he is, probably.
Someone needs to coach him and be like, you can't run up on a woman and her two children and be like, hey, come to my camper and see my toads. You can't do that.
I'm sure he looked out and was like, oh, toads, little boys. Yeah. I'm going to. But yeah, you know, which is exactly why, Anonymous, you said you make a point to raise your boys so when they're grown men, they understand how their presence can affect women and children and girls. So a great teaching moment, definitely. I love a great teaching moment where you're like, I did good in that moment as a parent. But then you're also like, God damn it. Why can't we just go look at strangers' toads, you know?
Yeah.
And it'd be all good. And it probably would have been. But in our head, you know, now if your husband had been walking with them, perhaps that's a different story. Perhaps he does go look at the toads.
Right. Or with y'all. So you're like, okay, we outnumber this guy 2-1. Maybe he really does have a toad.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see recently a video of concerned mom posted that her daughter was playing out front by herself and she was maybe like 6 or 7 and that a male neighbor kept coming out to talk with her. And he was the older gentleman, probably in his 60s or 70s. And, you know, like you said, we're all like, well, benefit of the doubt. But as the mother is talking to the neighbor going like, you can go. She's trying to play. Get out of the yard. The man is making eye contact with the little girl and he's putting his hand next to his head like she's crazy, like spinning his finger around like he and he's pointing at the mom and he's like, your mommy's crazy.
No, sir.
So to try to undermine the relationship between the kid and the parent, I'm like, oh, that's a pedophile behavior.
Yes, 100%.
You know, red it's flag. Like one thing if you're the neighbor who was like, oh, sorry, I saw she was playing. I was telling her to be careful. I totally get it. Walk. But if the mom's like, please leave our yard and your response is not like, I'm so sorry, man, but your mom's real crazy, isn't she? Come see me when she's not around. That's groomer behavior.
Absolutely.
Back to groomer.
And that's when you punch them in the face.
Film them and put them on the internet.
The way I would post that on Nextdoor, I'd make flyers, post it everywhere in the fucking neighborhood with your face on it.
She was like, I don't know what to do. What should I do? And multiple comments were like, Nextdoor, your neighbors are crazier than any of us.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for sharing it with us, but go on Nextdoor. They're like, find that lady with the talk to the manager haircut in the neighborhood and let her make this her crusade and you'll be fine.
Yep. Just find out where a couple other families with kids live, knock on their door and be like, hey, just say, I mean, because you really are doing a PSA. It's kind of like, I would feel a responsibility at that point to let everyone know.
Absolutely. I'm about to be the town crier if you tell me there's a pervert around here. I would knock on everybody's door. So, well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. My daughter, my darling daughter.
You've had a couple of your daughter's submissions today.
Anytime. I'm always very proud of all of you. And stay away from that storm drain, though.
Yeah, yes.
Definitely Pennywise.
Well, thank you so much to everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Well, speaking of freaky, got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's completely free. You just enter your email. You get immediate access to the always popping chat, the videos before they have to be edited down for YouTube, and a whole backlog of bonus content on our Patreon just for signing up as a free member.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing to do, and it just takes, just punch your email in.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content that you can check out as a free member. You can join for free, like we said, or you can dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That's where you join for a week at any of the tiers. Go to the highest tier, might as well. You binge all the perks, check them all out, and then cancel anytime before the 1 week trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around to an annual membership, you get 1 month free and so much more all year long.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content that we let you all vote on the content you want to do, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and of course, a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show and submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. And you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and, of course, tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Can't wait to see you all aboard. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've done, we would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift, and it's thoughtful to yourself as well, because you don't have to go out in the heat to buy it. You can buy it from the comfort of your own home. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and order yours from the website today. Where can people find you, speaking of websites, on the internet?
Oh, you know, the ones I know of are Instagram and Threads at Christy and Wallace, and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No